another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 30, and my name is DJ Chuang. I'm your host of the Social Media Church Podcast. Would love to connect with you at our website, socialmediachurch.net, and there you will find our links to Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and YouTube, Pinterest, email, if you like to use email, or even call in on the phone line to the listener voicemail. The number is 949-354-3216. Would certainly love to hear from you. Turn this monologue into a dialogue and conversation, because that's what this place is all about. This is the first of 2013. Want to welcome the new listeners to this podcast. We've been running since last summer, and my name is DJ Chuang. My social location is here in Orange County, California, and I'm definitely a social media enthusiast and early adopter when it comes to all things technology, particularly when it's free. And social media has been tremendously empowering in my own life, and as you've seen news around the world, how it's turning over governments, empowering people to have a voice. And I love seeing the potential of how that can empower the church and give voice to the people. And so I started this podcast initially to just capture some of the thinking and backstory and the heartbeat of how churches were using social media. I wanted to hear it firsthand from church leaders. One of the things I've noticed about the internet is that information is very easy to find, but conversations, not so much. And so this podcast is a format for conversations about social media and with church leaders. And one of the things is to get behind the thinking and the heartbeat. And I look at social media kind of like those cooking shows on Food Channel. Iron Chef is one of the most popular ones, where they have a secret ingredient, and yet at the same time, they also have a whole pantry, fully equipped kitchen with not only equipment but ingredients that they can turn this secret ingredient into something creative and something delicious. And social media is kind of that way. You bring to it all your life experience and creativity and turn it into something. And initially, the first 29 episodes before this episode, I just captured a number of conversations. A lot of the churches come from more of a evangelical background, ecclesiologically speaking, and there's something about the evangelical world that allows a lot more creativity, fast movement, and adoption of new technologies. And so I figure if anybody was using social media, it would be some of these more creative evangelical kind of churches. So I'll browse back through the archives and listen to some of those conversations and see how they inspire you to unleash the creativity that's in your community. And today's episode is with Dr. Meredith Gould, who is the founder and lead moderator for a Twitter chat that is now a weekly Twitter chat. It was initially launched back in July of 2011, and it's become a place to have a Twitter-based chat on a weekly basis for about an hour on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And they talk about how to use social media to build church and faith and community. And it's a welcoming, very informing, and ecumenical kind of place. And for those of you that may not be as actively engaged in ecumenical circles, ecumenical is bringing together the entirety of the Christian body as we understand it theologically. And that's inclusive of Catholic and Orthodox and mainline Protestants, as well as evangelicals. And typically fundamentalists are not very interested in ecumenical conversations. But here at this Twitter chat on a weekly basis, they have a robust time of conversation, typically around a topic. So it's a moderated chat. By having a topic, it helps the conversation stay on track. And there's a moderator that shepherds it along. And over the past year and a half or so, it's really become the place for Twitter-based conversations about social media. And on this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, I got to connect with Meredith Gould to hear the backstory of how this Twitter chat started, pick up some of the best learnings that has happened over the past year and a half of running this Twitter chat, known as TrSOCM, which stands for Church Social Media Chat, the hashtag, which is the word of the year, according to the Dialect Society, CHSOCM, has become a very popular hashtag for connecting into the conversation, the stream of tweets about social media and the church. So really excited to get this opportunity to chat with her. And towards the end of the conversation, she actually identifies six key roadblocks that keep churches from using social media. I thought that was profoundly insightful. And depending on your church context, if you're running into some roadblocks and not quite getting the social media engagement that's already happening all around the world and around the society that we live in, perhaps that will give you some insight into what you need to tackle in order to have the breakthrough to have social media more actively a part of the life of your church, because it already is a part of the life of your people. Meredith Gould brings a vast background of experiences and education, both as a sociologist and a communication specialist, and more recently, a digital strategist and consultant with healthcare and churches and mission-based organizations, which I take to mean nonprofits. She's also authored 8 books, with a 9th one on the way, covering a number of those topics as well. Be sure to check out her website, which will be in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net, to connect with her. She was sure a fun chat. Let me switch tracks to my conversation with Meredith Gould. DJ Chuang here, and I'm sitting with Meredith Gould. Well, not sitting next to her, sitting across many miles from her. I'm here in Orange County, and you are somewhere on the East Coast. I don't know exactly where.
I'm in Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. Yes, okay. I was in Bethesda for 10 years before I moved out here in 2007.
Well, I'm really a New Yorker. This is just a strange situation.
Well, thank you for making some time to chat here at Social Media Church. And I really want to chat with you because you've been a great host of conversations online with your Twitter chat, Church Social Media, or you call it TrSOCM, I think it is.
TrSOCM. Yeah, TrSOCM. People always want to know, how do you pronounce that? And then it's TrSOCM, like TrSOCM.
So tell us the story behind how you got that started.
Oh, that's a great story. I love telling the story because it's absolutely, it really does reveal the power of social media. It's a great social media story. So basically what happened there is that the birth and growth came out of a conversation on Twitter over a year ago. And I don't remember the day, I should have written it down, but it was like a midweek conversation, mid-morning, early afternoon. I think there were like 3 or 4 people who started to talk about church social media and how church leadership just doesn't get it and how people are so scared of it. And we really need to start educating more people. And a whole bunch of people, this is before we even had a hashtag, and a bunch of people just kind of in my faith network, that network of people I follow, jumped on. We got into the conversation, and when I was in this conversation, I thought, you know what, let's start a weekly chat. So I contacted the main people in that conversation. Again, I think it was like 3 or 4 people, and I contacted them with a direct message and said, would you mind if I moved forward and started a weekly chat? Because I didn't want to do it without checking with the other folks. I didn't want, you know, I just wanted to do it more collaboratively. And they said, yeah, well, you know how it goes in church. If you volunteer to do something, if you want something done, you just volunteer to do it, and everybody says, "Yay, you did it." You know?
That's right.
So that's true. I mean, that underscores my perpetual point. Virtual community is real community. Whatever happens in the real community will happen in a virtual community. So just like in church, somebody says, "You know, we really should have," and then leadership says, "Great, you start it." That's what happened, you know, online. So I said, "All right, let's start this." Checked in with the other folks. They were like, "Great, you go ahead and do it." And then I started on the search for a hashtag. I thought up a hashtag. The first, and I can't even remember what it is right now, but the first hashtag that I used before we got to Chesacum ended up generating a string of porn in Portuguese. So, which is why I say to people, you know, you really need to test hashtags before you use them. So I checked with a friend of mine who speaks that language. And I said, I think I stumbled into something. He said, "Oh, yeah, don't use that." So that's how I then came up with the Chesacum, Chesocm. So set up that hashtag, did a little group conscience about what day would be good. You know, no day is perfect for everyone. Settled on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Started a chat. So that's how it got started. And then I spent a lot of time early on when I was reading through my Twitter. I use TweetDeck, and I have all sorts of categories. And as I watched people talking about church social media, I would then go on in the public stream and say, "Would you please use hashtag Chesacum for content and conversation relative to church social media." And I did that in public, and then I also did that through the back channel. So that's how we got Chesacum to become the standard hashtag for church social media. And that happened very quickly. But that was, you know, basically me going in and then other people jumping on and saying, "Yeah, let's use this as the hashtag for this content and conversation."
Wow, what a great hashtag story. And you know, 2012 hashtag was crowned as the word of the year by the American Dialect Society, and you're a shining example of that.
Yeah, and it works. And I'll tell you, I was taught by the Hickson community, which is the healthcare social media community, which is a chat community I've been involved with for almost four years now. And I really learned how to set up and moderate a chat from, you know, long-term involvement with that community. So it's really transferring the skills that I learned in healthcare social media over to the domain of church and faith. And so that's how that happened. But it's a great story. And that's story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And I've been tracking with it. I wasn't there at the very beginning, but when it cranked across my radar, I'm like, "Oh, wow, I want to be a part of this conversation." And I launched this podcast in June, so I'm fostering conversation through a different mode of communication, a different mode of social media. And podcasting is getting a whole resurgence as well in the marketing world, and maybe you'll catch on in the church world too. I don't know.
Well, it really is, and it's interesting because we are now getting, I mean, there are people on this chat who've been there since the beginning, you know, long timers, and I also decided early on, I looked at different models for tweet chats, and I've been involved with a bunch of them, and I decided that the one moderator model was probably not what I wanted to do over time because of the nature of church itself and the people participating. So what I did was I decided to be the sole moderator for the first 6 months so that I could model what I thought the chat should be like. So for example, I am fierce to the point of being annoying or more annoying about the importance of ecumenism. So my commitment from the get-go was to have this be a cross-denominational chat. I was also very committed to modeling what we do in face-to-face conversations, in virtual conversations. So it was very important for me to structure the chat so that it opens with prayer and it ends with a prayer from Compline, from night prayer. And so I wanted to have 6 months of of moderating to show, to establish the tone, the pace, and the structure of the chat itself. And then I watched to see who was really contributing, who really seemed to love the chat, who understood how to use the technology of the chat. And from there, I went into the back channel and invited people to also volunteer as moderators, and then also went into the public stream saying, if you're interested in moderating this chat, please send me an email. It's interesting, only a couple people took me up on that offer. And most of the other moderators, the other folks who moderate, like David Hansen, Denise Burrows, Anjanette Wiley, Regina Heater, are there because I reached out to them and invited them. And Paul Steinbrook, who's a great participant on the chat, he's been a moderator. And we meet once a month, so, you know, coming up with a schedule so that we rotate moderators is a bit of a challenge. I use Doodle for that application, have people sign up. But that's another thing about setting up a chat and then seeing who comes in. And now we're seeing waves of new people. I think we've hit, this might be my sacred hallucination. I'm hoping that we've now hit some kind of tipping point in church communication, because just the past, and maybe it's the new year, but just the past two chats, we've had a slew of new people from all different denominations, and that's been very exciting.
Yeah, and for some of our listeners here on Social Media Church, they may not be as familiar with the ecumenical approach and just the finesse and the skill it takes to foster a conversation across so many faith traditions, denominations, and contexts. And describe a bit of your own, and how do you navigate between all these different approaches to church, much less social media?
Right. Well, that's a great question. And it's, you know, I could do about 5 minutes of stand-up comedy about my own multiple spirituality disorder, so that helps. I was raised Jewish, so I come into Christianity. I came into Christianity as an adult. I say to people, I was baptized when I was old enough to know what I was doing. And so the journey from Judaism to basically kind of a different form of Judaism in some way took many years. I mean, that happened over decades. And during my journey, I checked out, worshiped with many different denominations. And so and also coming as a convert, you know, I don't get really hung up on a lot of the denominational issues. So I look at it, and for me, navigating and moderating the conversation really isn't a problem, because for me, and I hope for others, I want others to see that the framework for understanding social media or any tool we use for evangelism is that we're one body in Christ. Mm-hmm. Our mission as people of faith is to preach the gospel and model how we live it in our life. That's our mission as people of faith. The different denominational expressions of that, I see as different denominational expressions. And so when it comes to the chat, I just always keep it, if there are disconnects, then as the moderator, I bring it back to, and some of it is in the way the topics are formed, you know, are articulated, but it always comes back to, we are one body. We are church. We are, you know, the one church, not different denominations. Now, there are disconnects at times that are at the level of practice, worship practice, and language. And those get handled pretty quickly when I'm moderating. For example, and actually I spent a little too much time, everybody told me, on one chat, defining terms across denominations, because it was important that people who come out of denominations and have dioceses understand that that's equivalent to a synod, and it's a sort of equivalent to a presbytery, that, you know, those sorts of things. So I'll do the simultaneous translation if it looks like, yeah, I feel like I'm in the U.S. If it looks like the conversation's getting derailed just because people aren't understanding terms that are being used differently, then I'll jump in and define the terms. But in terms of the community has been remarkably Christian in the sense that there is no denominational fighting that goes on in this chat. Now, I do believe that opening and closing with prayer helps reinforce that. Mm-hmm. I think that the practice of that chat, and again, this is true for many chats, but in our chat, we open with self-introductions and we ask people to say what denomination they're from and how they currently use social media for church. So when you look in, when you join the chat or if you read the transcript, which are always posted on our blog, mm-hmm. you'll see the stream of different denominations. And I think that sets a tone for the chat where people are kind of blown away, like, wow, I'm now interacting with people I would not normally talk mm-hmm. to in my everyday life as a person of faith.
Right. Yeah, the you're really combining the skill of moderating, which you've set a tremendous example by setting the pace for 6 months of moderating, and also leaning into the wisdom of the crowd, allowing the community to pastor and facilitate and moderate with you.
Right. And you'll see the difference in the moderators too. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. When I go back into the transcripts, and actually I just handed in the manuscript for a book about church social media, just handed it into Liturgical Press last week. And as I was writing that book, I went back and reread over a year of chat transcripts. And when they're read as a piece, like I did, it's remarkable to see the differences in styles of moderation and, as a result, what people end up sharing. So that, I think that's really helped the vitality of the chat. We have on occasion had trolls show up, people who are just there to cause trouble. And again, that's a great example where the moderator, I and the other moderators too, we let the community handle that. It's the responsibility of the community to maintain the integrity and the ethos of the community. So just like in church, you really don't want your pastor or council head having to stop bad behavior all the time. You want the community to say, you know what you're doing really isn't helpful and isn't appropriate. And if the community, if it persists, then I will go into the back channel and tell someone to knock it off. But we actually haven't had that problem. I think the other thing that I would want to stress with you and your listeners is that, and I think this is what makes the chat work and the hashtag work, is that many of us who work in social media and view it as a tool, we understand that this is one of the most powerful tools for evangelism to show up since the invention of the printing press. It is a very, very significant tool. Mm-hmm. And we view what our work as ministry. I mean, I see myself as called to the, I know that I'm called to the ministry of communication, of church communication. So for me, and I have had a job with a church, in a physical church. I've had that experience. So those skills I've taken, I hope, online. And so for me, the chat is also a community that ministers to me, supports my ministry, and we support one another's ministries as ministers of the word. Some of us are also ministers of the sacrament, but, you know, in the context of church social media, we are clearly ministers of the word in the most literal sense.
Yes, amen. And so, what have you learned in the first year of fostering this community that's just beginning to flourish and really breaking new ground for the church on the whole?
Well, personally, I have to say, and this is always my learning, and it's a tough one, don't try and do it all. You know, ask for help, get help, expand it. So that's my personal learning. More globally, in terms of the ministry of church communication, lots of work to be done. Maybe that's not news, but lots of work to be done. There's still an extraordinary amount of resistance, ignorance, and fear around social media. I mean, it's...
why is that? I mean, the rest of the world is already up to speed with social media.
Yeah.
It's overturning governments. My goodness.
Yeah, no. I know. It's fascinating. I think, again, as I said earlier, this may be my feeble prayer and delusion, but I think we may be at a tipping point. There are a bunch of barriers to success, and I lump them into, I say there are three major conceptual barriers to social media success, and there are three major technical barriers to social media success. The conceptual barriers there are a lot of people who cling to these ideas, and I'll just try them out for you. One, they think it's not real. And so nothing that you generate with social media, with it or from it, is authentic. They also, the people who are very fearful of it, don't understand that those of us who push social media are saying that it is to support, not replace, church. So the people who are afraid of it say, oh, no, this undermines church, the building, this undermines worship, it undermines physical community. And so they don't see how it can be used to inspire attendance or enhance participation. And then the third thing is a lot of people who are not familiar with it or scared of it tend to see it as a toy, not a tool. And they think it takes way too long to learn and use, so it's a non-essential luxury. So those are really, PJ, those are the conceptual barriers. And then we get to the technical barriers where, this was my big learning, both from the community and also from the consulting work I've done in the past year. I have come to believe that probably the single most biggest awful barrier to social media success is the website. Because the website for churches, dioceses, synods, presbyteries, you know, other forms of polity are usually so outdated in terms of their platform and their functionality, and the design's ugly and the content's not web readable. People go to websites first, and when they can't find anything on the website, they're less inclined to engage with the community in real life, let alone on social media. The other thing I've noticed, which is kind of hilarious in a sad kind of way, is that, and it's a technical barrier, is we have churches where Wi-Fi hasn't been enabled, or the access to it is only limited to a few leaders. I mean, true story, I ran into a church, and it was a fairly sophisticated church with a fairly sophisticated pastor who didn't give anybody else the web access key. They had Wi-Fi, but he kept it in his clutches. He wouldn't let anybody else have it. So that's a technical barrier. And then, you know, also the whole thing about training staff and congregants to find and use online resources. We've got to stop seeing that as a luxury. It's not a luxury. It's essential. So just as you, if you're training your ministers to use in-classroom materials for religious education or adult faith formation, or you bring people in the liturgical churches, you bring people in to learn how to become liturgical ministers, all those people get training. We really need to start to be doing that with online technologies. And social media is just one. It's just one of them. So that's my biggest learning is, oh boy, you know, these barriers, conceptual and technical, are alive and unwell. And that's our greatest work. That's our greatest work, I think.
Wow, those are keen observations. Thank you for sharing them with us here, and I'm guessing you'll unpack that more in your upcoming book.
I hope so. Yeah.
Do you have a title?
Well, the working title is really funny. The working title, Building Church and Faith Today with Social Media, and then the subtitle is Embracing a Future That Is Already Here. I'm on the search for a new main title because Building Church and Faith Today with Social Media just seems beyond boring, and it's way too long.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does that even fit into a tweet?
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to fuck up those characters. The other thing is I want a title that isn't so cute and trendy that nobody knows what it means, but isn't so descriptive that you could fall asleep reading it. So I'm excited. So the title, you know, the title's a work in progress. The book itself, I'm very excited about. It builds on the book I wrote, published with Morehouse in 2008, The Word Made Fresh, Communicating Church of Faith Today, which was really a book about communication ministry as a ministry. And, I'm an pretty early adopter of social media. And once I got into social media, I thought, oh boy, this is the next big thing and it's here. So I actually am glad that I didn't jam a lot of information into the previous book. And I'm also very grateful that I waited, you know, this amount of time to write a book about social media, because quite frankly, DJ, it has taken me this long to work with it and understand what it can do, what it can't do, and to really see it as a tool that can be used strategically to, help us preach the gospel.
Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for being a champion and a leading voice in our church communities around the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for fostering the Twitter chat, being an author, and sharing your wisdom and learning so generously.
All right. Thank you.
Peace be with you. Thank you, Meredith, for joining us here on the Social Media Church podcast. And check the show notes at our website, socialmediachurch.net, for show notes and links to things that were mentioned during my conversation with Meredith. And two of her books that she's authored relate to church and social media, The Word Made Fresh, Communicating Church and Faith Today, and Getting #Married, Using Social Media to Celebrate the Sacred. Since we're past the half-hour mark, I'm going to keep my reflections and thoughts about this conversation short. And I think one takeaway you can have from this is just that sustaining a conversation consistently over time is how you establish a hashtag and a brand and a conversation and develop a community and a tribe. And so that is what you have with your weekly gathering in your physical church. The online equivalent of that can look like a Twitter hashtag. And I was thinking, in my years of experience, I've come across a few churches that have tried to use discussion boards, and they've worked for a short term typically. And then some kind of a inciting incident happens, and moderation becomes difficult to manage, and often churches would prefer to pull the plug rather than to maintain the dynamic nature of online community. Here at the Social Media Church Podcast, we check in with you on a weekly basis, bringing you conversations with church leaders about social media. And many of you, our listeners, subscribe through iTunes. So please rate us and review us there at the iTunes link. My name is DJ Chuang. Let me sign off here. And until next time, let's stay connected online.